The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. What is the Bible? Some say it is a history book and nothing more. Others say it is a collection of literary work containing poems, songs, and metaphors, and that's it. What is your definition of the Bible? I want to begin by reading some famous quotations from very famous people and what they said about the Bible. Abraham Lincoln said this, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book." That was the President of the United States that said that. Here's another President of the United States, George Washington. Here's what he said. "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Daniel Webster had this to say about the Bible. "If there is anything in my thoughts or style to commend, the credit is due to my parents for instilling in me an early love of the Scriptures. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instructions and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity." Now, I believe that quote from Daniel Webster should give us all pause for thought, because the Bible is rapidly disappearing from our culture, from our discourse, and from our policies and way of doing business in the Western world. And, as you notice, we are declining on the world scene. Is there a connection? Could there be something to what Daniel Webster said about the importance of the Bible and its central position in the success that we have had as a civilization? Another president, U.S. Grant, said this about the Bible. "The Bible is the sheet anchor of our liberties." President Andrew Jackson, "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests." Can you imagine what would happen today if a candidate for the presidency of the United States campaigned and had that approach in his speeches and in his quest for the Oval Office? What if a presidential candidate stood up and said, "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests"? He'd be in trouble. That's not politically correct today. He'd be labeled a right-wing extremist. But that's what President Andrew Jackson said in his day. Robert E. Lee, "In all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength, and it'll give all of us light and strength." We just have to recognize how profound and necessary to happy living the Bible actually is. Lord Tennyson said this, "Bible reading is an education in itself." And you know, it really is a history book. It's the best history book there is, but it's far more than just a history book. John Quincy Adams, here's what he said about the Bible. "So great is my veneration for the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society. I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year, and that's an excellent practice, and all of us ought to do it. And all of us can do it." Now, you notice we're quoting from famous people who are balanced, who have character, who were successful. They're not wild-eyed fanatics. They're not extremists. They're not spouting out a bunch of views and opinions that are off the wall at all. These are past leaders of considerable magnitude in the course of history of our country. Some would say even giants in their own right and in their time. One final quote, Sir William Herschel said this, "All human discoveries seem to be made only for the purpose of confirming more and more strongly the truths contained in the sacred scriptures." Well, I'll tell you one thing, scientific discoveries, if approached with honesty and with integrity, will not contradict the Bible and will not undermine or do away with the Bible. Rather, they will substantiate, verify, and prove that the Bible really is true. Any truthful, accurate, and proven scientific discovery will do that directly or indirectly. And if some scientific discovery comes along that purports to contradict the Bible or do away with the Bible or undermine its veracity, don't you believe it. You just check it out and you'll see that's not the case. You'll see that that scientific discovery was bogus, fraudulent, or spun in a direction away from the facts. Let's let the Bible define itself. That's where we can get a true definition of what God's Word really is. And go get your Bible, please, and let's follow along together and see what God's Word actually says. First, I want to turn over here to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Notice what Paul wrote in God's Word inspired by God himself. Verse 16, he says this, "All Scripture," not some Scripture, not most Scripture, "all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God or child of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Equipped unto all good works is the meaning. In other words, God's Word is a map to eternal life. It is the manual for Christian living. It gives us the directions and the guidelines to follow as we make our way through life toward eternal life. And it's all inspired of God. That's what it says right here, verse 16, 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Now let's turn to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 and read what Jesus Christ said. Matthew 4 and verse 4. "And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Well, the Bible is the Word of God. And Jesus Christ said, we're to live by the Word of God. We're to conduct our lives according to the Bible. Now, in order to live by every word of God, we've got to know what the Word of God says. And in order to know what the Word of God says, we've got to be studying it. God's Word is inspired and backed up by the Creator of all things, God Himself. And Jesus Christ said, we're to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's our benchmark. That's our standard. The values found in the Bible are the values that we live by and practice in our daily lives. The Bible shows us the way to live as Christians. Let's turn to another scripture that ties right in with all of this. It's found over here in John chapter 17 and verse 17. Once again, these are the words of Jesus Christ, and he says, "Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth." Your word is truth. It's unvarnished. There's no twisting or distortion or spinning that takes place in the Word of God. And it is the final word. It says what it means and means what it says. So if you put all of these scriptures together that we've just gone through, we can see that the Bible defines itself. It is the Word of God. It is the truth of God. It is inspired by God. And it is the guide for happy, abundant, successful living. Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong often said this about the Bible. The Word of God is the foundation of knowledge. And that's so true. The Holy Bible contains instructions on every facet of life, directly or indirectly. It shows us in very clear terms what works and what doesn't work in realistic, practical terms. You can bring up any subject you want to, and you'll find the Bible gives us instructions on that subject, either directly or indirectly, whether it's marriage, child rearing, the workplace, farming, health, overcoming, dealing with trouble, finances, the purpose in life, doctrine, traditions, appearance, you name it. Prophecy, history, Jesus Christ, the prophets, the apostles, Satan the devil, the plan of God, and I could go on and on and on. you'll find every facet of life mentioned in God's Word, directly or indirectly. And you will find answers to questions and solutions to problems. It is, in fact, the foundation of knowledge. Now I want to ask a few questions. Only you can answer these questions, but please answer them in the privacy of your home or wherever you might be. Do you have a Bible? Do you know where it is right now? When is the last time you really opened it up and studied it? Well, I hope you'll keep those questions in mind now as we take time to go through a few suggestions regarding the Holy Bible and how it fits into everyday Christian living. The first suggestion is this. All of us should have at least one good translation of God's Word. Not just any translation, not just any version, but the best translation and version. And my recommendation on that score is the Authorized King James Version. It was translated in 1611 from the Hebrew manuscripts for the Old Testament and the Greek manuscripts for the New Testament, and it has held up over a long period of time and still stands as the most accurate translation of the Bible. Now, the New King James Version is also very accurate and puts it in modern English. And the Revised Standard is a good translation, and there are others. But be careful about the translation you use for your Bible. Make sure that it is a good one and an accurate one, or else you're going to find erroneous interpretations put there by scholars who slipped in their own view about God's Word instead of actually translating God's Word the way it was inspired and written. Now let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, here's an example of how we have to be careful about the translation we use, and also we have to be careful about who we listen to regarding their interpretation of those scriptures. 2 Peter 1 and verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So God worked through holy men who recorded God's word and preserved it, and then capable scholars translated it with God's overall direction, I might add, into the Bible we have today. And it's been translated into many languages, and it's all over the world. And year after year, it is the best-selling book. And yet, it's probably the least understood book by most and the least read book by many. What a paradox. What an irony. Here's the best-selling book in history, and yet the least understood book in so many cases. But you can understand it if you ask God to guide you in that understanding. But don't interpret what it says, and don't let anyone else interpret what it says, including translators and including, quote-unquote, Bible scholars. The Bible must interpret itself, and God will guide you as it interprets itself in understanding what it actually says and means. That's what it says right here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So get a good translation of God's Word. That's the first suggestion. The second suggestion is this. Open it up and read from it every day, and read from the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's turn over here to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy 17 and verse 18. We ought to follow this requirement placed upon the kings of Israel in the past. It's a practice that we should follow even today. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 18. And it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Eternal his God, or stand in awe of God, to revere him, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So that's the requirement that God placed on the kings of Israel. And it should be a practice that we follow as his people today. What's more important in your day than taking time sometime during that day to open God's Word and study it? Read from it. Go through it. And as John Quincy Adams said, go through it from Genesis to Revelation once a year. That's a wonderful practice. And you know, you can organize your reading schedule to where you'll do that. And as Lord Tennyson said, reading the Bible is an education in itself. And it is. It's a tremendous education. You'll learn things there you can't learn anywhere else. So it's certainly vital to take time every day to read from God's Word. It's like a spiritual meal. You'll be refreshed. You'll be encouraged. You'll be inspired. You'll find answers to questions you may have. You take time to start reading through the book of Psalms, for instance. You can be tired. You can be discouraged, even depressed. You can be frustrated, and it'll relax you, and it'll settle you down. It'll give you hope. It'll give you strength, and you'll have a hard time putting the Bible down once you start getting into the profound depth of the book of Psalms. You read through the book of Proverbs, you're going to find practical instructions to so many situations that come along in life. You study the Beatitudes in the Gospels, and you will see how Christians should handle all kinds of developments that come along as Christ himself handled them and how he tells us to handle them. But you're not going to find any of that out, and neither will I, if we don't take time on a daily basis to open up God's Word and read it and study it and think about it. The third suggestion I have is this. Ask God to help you understand the Bible, and he will. He will. Let's notice what Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1 says. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, or treasure them, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the eternal, or the deep reverential awe of God, and do what? And find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So that's very clear that if we really do seek understanding, and if we really do seek knowledge and wisdom from God's Word, then we need to ask God for it, and he will give it to us as we study his Word. Just take time to get on your knees and ask God to give you understanding and knowledge and wisdom of his holy word, the Bible, and he will answer your prayer if you're sincere, if you really mean it, and you ask him in faith. That's what it says. That's what he promises right here in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. The next suggestion that I have regarding the Holy Bible and its place in our lives, we need to put into practice what we understand and read from the Bible. Put it into practice. You know, Mr. Armstrong often said, knowledge is of no value unless applied. What good does it do to have a head full of knowledge about anything, and in particular the Bible, but we don't do anything about it? We don't put it into practice. We don't apply what we read in God's Word. God holds us accountable for what we know. He says, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So we need to put into practice what we understand and read from the Bible. You know what you'll find? You'll find that if you do that, it's very balanced, and it's based on love, and it works. It's not weird and strange and outlandish teachings at all. It's about loving God and loving neighbor and living the way that brings tremendous joy and happiness and good, not only for you, but for anyone else that chooses to live according to God's Word, as Christ told us to do. Put into practice what we understand and read. That's this suggestion. Let's turn over here to 2 Timothy chapter 2 with that in mind. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. God inspired this to be written. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. a workman. In other words, we're going to put it to work. We're going to put it in practice. We're going to follow what it says, and we're going to do it in a way that is balanced, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly understanding it, rightly applying it. But in order to do that, what do we have to do? Study to show ourselves approved unto God. And then we put it into practice. We follow it. We apply it. We use it in making decisions, in seeking right choices and following up on those choices, implementing them all the way through to fruition. We look into the Bible for answers that we can't find or come up with, because God's put them there if we'll just ask Him to help us see it and then to put it into practice. He's put those answers to our questions there. He's put those solutions to our problems there. We're not going to find any of that if we don't have a Bible, and if we don't have a good translation of the Bible, and if we don't ask God to help us understand His Word, and then if we don't study it and put it into practice. The last suggestion I have, although we could have a much longer list than this, but we don't have time for everything we could put on the list, so we've tried to summarize some key suggestions. And the last one is this: ask for guidance from the true ministers of God as you study through God's Word and seek to understand it more and more. I want to turn over here to Acts chapter 8 and verse 30 as an example of this suggestion. Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. Now this is a very, very interesting passage of Scripture here, and I don't have time to read all the background, but I hope you will. You will see that Philip, a servant of God who later became an evangelist of God, came in contact with the Ethiopian eunuch, a very high official in the Ethiopian government. And when he came in contact with him, here's what he found. Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. And Philip ran there to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He was reading from the book of Isaiah, this Ethiopian eunuch was. And when Philip asked him that question, here's the answer the eunuch gave him. Verse 31, Acts 8. And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And he desired, or asked Philip, that he would come up and sit with him. "How can I," he said, "except there be some man to guide me?" Now here's the operative question. What man to guide you? There are false prophets and false ministers who will be glad to guide you, but they won't guide you in the right direction. You have to be careful who you ask to guide you. You have to have a true minister of God who's going to tell you the truth, and you're going to be able to prove it from God's Word guiding you. Verse 32, the place of the Scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth." That's found in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 and 8. Verse 33 of Acts 8, "In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray you, of whom speaks the prophet this, of himself or of some other man?" Verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus." And as you keep reading, you'll see that the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized by Philip because he had come to enough knowledge of the truth. He had repented and he was ready for baptism. But it took Philip to guide him in understanding all of that. And there comes a time when we all need some help and guidance as we study God's Word. And the place to get that guidance is from one of God's true ministers. But make sure that you always do this right here. Turn with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Always do this when you are being taught God's Word by anybody. Don't just take anyone's word for it. They may be telling you the truth, they may be telling you part of the truth, and they may be teaching you none of the truth at all but error. You have to be careful. They may be nice, they may be charismatic, they may be interesting, they may have tremendous articulation and personality, but that doesn't mean they're right. The bottom line is you must follow along and prove it one way or the other. That's what the Bible says right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So when you seek guidance, whether it's in writing, whether it's in person, whether it's from recordings, Make sure you get that guidance from someone who is being guided by God, a true teacher, a true minister, and make sure it stacks up with what God's Word says and what you see with your own eyes as you follow through the Bible and you verify the facts that you're hearing and you prove whether or not you're being taught the truth. And if you aren't, then question it. And if you are, hold fast to that which is good. That's what we're told right here in God's Word. Well, I hope you won't cheat yourself out of the blessings that come from studying the Word of God and living by it. Don't be intimidated by what you hear regarding the Bible. Some people say, oh, well, you can't understand the Bible. There's no need reading it. And there's even some ministers in some churches that tell you, don't read it. You'll just get confused and mixed up. I'll read it and tell you what it says. So you listen to me and trust me. Don't you do that. You check in the Bible and you read it yourself. You can understand it. God will help you. And the more you read it, the more things will fall into place and the more it'll make sense. You may have to skip over a book and then come back to it later once you get kind of the overall picture that the Bible is painting, as it were. But don't be scared off from opening up God's Word and being fed the truth of God from it. And the more you read it, and the more you ask God for understanding, and the more you put it into practice, the more it's going to make sense to you. It is a tremendous, trustworthy, and accurate guide to living life the way God intends it to be lived. And after all, He knows how we are to live our lives. He gave us life, and now He gives us the manual for living life the way He intends it to be lived. It's right here in the Bible. It is the right foundation for building happy, successful living. And when followed day in and day out, it will lead straight into the kingdom of God and produce a tremendous amount of abundant living along the way in the lives of those who make it a central part of what they do. Let's be thankful that we can freely read in that Word and with God's help daily live our lives according to the principles and values, commandments and standards that we find inside the pages of that holy book. We have additional material that pertains to the Bible. We'll be glad to send you upon request. It's very interesting and very helpful, and it's totally free. Just ask for our CDs on What Does the Bible Actually Say? And The Proof of the Bible. Call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. Also, request our free magazine, Straightforward. We'll send that to you free as well. The number to call is 1-800-581-1317. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758. Or visit our website at straightforward.org.